Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Those of you that know me well will notice that my voice is showing up differently this morning. Not quite sure what that's about. Could have been something that came from Oakdale Elementary School through two of the people in our house that are there and exposed to that all the time, and all the stuff that kids are doing when they're building their immune systems. Could be that. Could be raking moldy leaves outside. But this is sort of my jam health-wise, and every once in a while it pops up, and hopefully we'll get through this without too much disruption. But apologize for any distraction that my voice will cause this morning. As we begin this message on gratitude, I have to pull out a clip from the St. Andrew's archives. I mean, some of you, if you have been around for a really long time, you've seen this clip. If you haven't, it's important. You have to know the mythology of VeggieTales. It's just, it's absolutely critical that you understand VeggieTales. And on this weekend of Thanksgiving, we go to that great spiritual teacher, Madame Blueberry, and we're going to invite Braden to cue up the clip, because Madame Blueberry teaches us about simplicity. Now, in case you don't know about Madame Blueberry, she has become enamored of all the new things that are available at the new huge warehouse called Stuff Mart that opened down the street, and she has indulged herself at Stuff Mart because they have free delivery. She has a stream of things going in carts all the way to her house, and her house is getting filled with stuff because she just loves all this stuff. And in fact, her house becomes so full of stuff that the treehouse is in danger. But she is in her heavenly place in Stuff Mart. But somewhere in the middle of her shopping trip this time, she has an important realization. Let's watch. Timely, right? Because it's Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend, and Stuff Mart is right around the corner. Stuff Mart is as close as your computer, and perhaps I need Madame Blueberry sitting next to me saying, don't click that, don't click that, you don't need to click that one, okay, click that one, that sort of thing. And as we think about what it means to be thankful, and we look out in society, we look at a culture that creates needs and it creates wants. We'll get into that in just a moment. But before we do, let's go to Colossians and let's look at the way the Apostle Paul suggested that we gather life together and the way that we live it out, the way that we do life. In Colossians 3, Paul exhorts the young Christians in the city of Colossae, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. You must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in a spirit of perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always what? Always be thankful. He ends with, oh, by the way, don't forget, as you're doing all this other good stuff, always be thankful. It's easy to believe in today's day and age that maybe we don't need to be thankful because, or maybe we walk through life not being thankful because we believe we don't have enough. That if we had a little bit more, we would be happier. More of a house, more of a car, a better figure, a better body, on and on and on, better clothes. We might think, well, if I just had this, that next thing, then I could be happy. There's a documentary on PBS called Affluenza, a play on the word influenza and affluence. Affluenza, in which they captured this dynamic on film, and one account of that documentary reads this way. A number of scenes in the documentary compare shopping centers from the 1950s with modern malls. The narrator in the documentary continues in voiceover, by 1987, America had more shopping malls than high schools. Few mall shoppers come with any intention of purchasing a particular product. They buy largely on impulse. As this old sales training film suggests, that's no accident, and then they cut to the film. And in the training film, product displays are shown. A sales manager is emphasizing the importance of drawing in impulse shopping and creating impulse shopping. In the training film, he says the displays should make people hungry for as many things as possible, hungry enough to buy a lot more than they plan to. The narrator shows a Potomac Mills TV commercial, and an announcer says, "Shopping is therapy. Listen to that little voice in your head. Shop, 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 shop. You can buy happiness, just don't pay retail for it." In the documentary, a 1950s car commercial is briefly shown. The narrator of the documentary continues, "In fact, the percentage of Americans calling themselves very happy reached its highest point in," anybody want to guess? 1957. New York psychologist Paul Watchell comments, "People's entire orientation to how they are doing is based on comparison. That's why, as an entire society grows, people don't feel any better, because they're still in the same relative position to somebody else. There's a sense of being on an endless treadmill of never getting to where you thought you were going to get." Now, when we walk outside our door and drive anywhere, and that's the world that we are faced with, that is going to create a certain mindset. And that is not a mindset of gratitude. It is a mindset designed to engender and instill a sense of scarcity. You are not enough. You don't have enough. But if you just had this, ... well, then you would. Rinse, wash, repeat, right? Or wash, rinse, repeat. Wait, where did I get that? Anyway, you get what I'm saying there. Repeat, repeat, repeat. It's a repetitive kind of treadmill. And that is about living in scarcity. Gratitude, here's the great thing about gratitude. Gratitude rescues us from a scarcity mindset. Gratitude is the antidote. Gratitude is the medicine. Gratitude inoculates us from the scarcity mindset. It says, what I have here and now is good. What I have here and now is enough. It doesn't make me happy. Within the context in which I am presently, I find ways to be happy. Do you see the shift? And this is very important, because it's not just about consumerism. It's not just about goods and services. Dynamics, gratitude and scarcity are dynamics of life. Again, it's true of economics, it's true of consumerism, but it's true of a lot of things in life. Let's say I walk around thinking, I have a lot and I'm blessed. What kind of mood am I in? I have everything I need. If I get a paycheck, am I going to blow it? If I already have everything I need, if that's my mindset, not likely. And actually, economically, that leads to abundance, because now I haven't blown the paycheck. Where's it go? It goes in the bank. So do you see how abundance leads to abundance? Now, on the other hand, let's say I walk around thinking I never have enough. I need, I need, I need. I get a paycheck. Am I more likely to blow it? Well, yes, I am, because there's so much more that I need. I may even overspend, if that sales manager in the documentary was successful at setting up the display in the mall. I may even overspend because of impulse buying. Now, the scarcity mindset that I started out with leads to even less, because they convinced me I needed to give my money to them. So dynamics like abundance and scarcity are multiplicative in life. They snowball. And again, that's not just true of consumer goods. That's true of my attitude in life in general. If I walk around saying, I have found a way in this context to be happy, I am looking for the things that will generate more happiness. I find the things that are out there that are cause and reason for celebration. If I'm walking out in society saying, you know, I'm really miserable, oh, by the way, guess what I start to notice? I have my misery glasses on. I start to notice that which is miserable, that too is multiplicative. It snowballs. So how do we get to where we want to go? What are some of the steps? As I was writing this message, it occurred to me that this is a conversation about gratitude, and in a way, the steps, the journey to gratitude starts with awareness and practicing awareness. The good in life isn't necessarily automatically going to jump out at us. Sometimes it will, but not necessarily automatically at every turn. Most modern lives, including my own, are way too cluttered and noisy for that. I'm too distracted. And because I'm not aware, I'm not going to see the opportunities to experience the good things that God is doing. So I have to be aware, and to be aware, I have to be present to life. I have to be present to life. Let's unpack that for a moment. Mark Iaconelli is a spiritual director of youth. His books on spiritual direction, however, are profound for people of any age. It inspires me that he works with youth, and the story that he tells about youth inspire me deeply. Oftentimes, if you have a chance to talk to somebody who is in high school and their spiritual life is open and they're growing and thriving, they're very, very inspiring folks. And Mark works with these with this demographic, and he learns a lot about life through them and the spiritual life through them. Here's what he says about being present to life and practicing awareness. He asks, what does it mean to be present? What does it mean to be present? It means being open and available to others with as much of ourselves as possible, as unguarded as possible. To be present is to be awake to the mystery of God within each moment. It means relating to people in the way Jesus related to people, with authenticity and transparency. So being present means that we approach life with that kind of posture, that we are going to be aware, that we are going to be present to see where God is present and open up our minds and hearts to the possibility that God is going to do something new at any moment. Iaconelli calls this contemplative awareness. And he continues this way on the topic of contemplative awareness, this related topic and stage. Ignatius of Loyola referred to contemplation as seeing God in all things. Brother Lawrence called it the pure loving gaze that finds God everywhere. So as we practice awareness, one of the ways that we practice awareness is contemplation. We call ourselves present, we become aware, and then we can begin to practice contemplation. This is what we do at 9:45 every Sunday. Jean-Pierre de Caussade defined contemplation as the sacrament of the present moment. Teresa of Avila referred to this experience as awareness absorbed in a maze. And Iaconelli continues, my favorite description comes from Walter Burghardt, who said, contemplation is a long, loving look at the real. A long, loving look at the real. That's a very different posture to life than I'm distracted, and oh, by the way, I'm impulsively stimulated by all that's out there trying to get me to buy or do something that I wasn't necessarily planning to do. So the possibility is that we are present, we are aware, we are contemplating where God is present and what God is doing. And when we shift our awareness, we are truly present. It's like we are living life at a new level of reality. We really see. We really see, and we notice what is around us. It was actually brilliant at the end of that Madame Blueberry clip, Inside Stuff Mart. Did you notice what happened? She was all distracted and really like, almost like she is on a drug high, about grabbing off the shelves. And then she had this, she was aware of what the Father and the Son were doing, and she was present to a new possibility. And at the very end of the clip, as she's sitting there, her eyes are now open, a little butterfly flew past. And she said, oh, how beautiful. It was actually a brilliant little thing that the animators did there. Because that is what happens. We put on, it's like we're walking around distracted, not really able to see anything clearly for what it is. And yet, when we are present and aware and contemplating, they all go together, present, aware, and contemplating, it's like putting on spiritual glasses. Now life comes into new, sharp focus, and we see what we did not see before. We see the beautiful butterfly around us. We see the beautiful smile of the child, and rather than pushing that child away because we're busy or distracted, we give them a hug instead, and we have a moment together where we're gazing into one another's eyes, or the eyes of a beloved, or just a moment of gratitude for a friend. Say thank you for the beautiful things that you do, because now we see them, we didn't see them before. And the danger of modern life is that we go through it without really seeing anything. We can't get to gratitude that way. In order to get to gratitude, we have to be present. We have to be aware. And then we have to contemplate the life around us so we can see the things for which we can be grateful. Do you see that? It's an important step. We have to be present, aware, contemplate, so we can see the things for which we can be grateful in life. Awareness and gratitude, that's a powerful synergy. That is a powerful synergy that leads to a life of joy and possibility. I ask, as we begin the Advent season, are you inundated, consumed with things to do, things that you have to buy, places you have to go, or are you setting an intention for the season that's going to be a bit different? That you're going to want to see where God is at work all around you. The possibility is if you are able to see with the spiritual glasses, through the lenses of awareness, presence, and contemplation, life will show up in a new way, and you can be grateful for what shows up. Now, disclaimer, it's not automatic. It's not always easy. So, I think it was Wednesday. I finished up most of my work, very excited for Thanksgiving and a couple days, frankly, just to be off and to rest. And instead, everything went a different route. You ever had that happen before? Everything went a different route. My eldest daughter is in London visiting a friend who's on foreign study over in Europe, and that involved a 4:30 a.m. wake up and trip to Dulles. And I could just go on and on and on. Anybody got kids in college or sent kids to college? Okay, there's this paperwork that you got to fill out for the financial aid, unless you're just going to pay out of pocket, which if you did, great, good for you. We're not. We're looking for financial aid. And it was sort of like the long drudgery of forms and looking up bank accounts and paperwork. And I don't know how much money I'm going to make in 2020 because it's still 2019. Why are you asking me? I was waiting for the question that said, how much did you spend last year on postage stamps and why didn't you save that money for college? I was just waiting for it around the corner. They're that invasive. That one didn't show up, thankfully. But crazy. And you know what I found myself doing? I found myself creating misery. I was miserable in the midst of it, and I'm sitting there going, I'm supposed to preach a sermon on gratitude this Sunday. And I am miserable. I am grouchy. I think if we had a steel door in the basement where I was doing my work, I think they would have slammed it shut and locked me down there so they wouldn't have to interact with me in the house. Just miserable. You ever get that way? Not grateful. Not feeling gratitude. And I thought, what in the world? How in the world can I be an honest person and be like, gratitude, awareness, and gratitude, and joy, and abundance, and go get them, you know? I'm going home to be miserable again. No, that's not what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to be inauthentic. I realized there was a bit of a flaw in my thinking, and this is what I figured out. It was my expectation. It was my expectation. Sometimes life is not a holiday, and some of you in this room know that in a very deep way right now. You're going through hard times. Sometimes life's not a holiday. It doesn't matter if it is a holiday. Your life is not a holiday at that moment. And so me up here saying, you know, hey, just be aware and be grateful in your life, all kinds of joy and abundance. I mean, maybe, yes, absolutely, maybe. And if you get to that place, thanks be to God. But here's what I realized. If I had figured out early on that my holiday weekend was going to be really kind of like a marathon, then I would have calibrated my expectations differently. Not holiday, relaxation, rest, but work, marathon, need endurance to get through it, challenging obstacles, things I didn't want to do. Gratitude still shows up, and here's how. Gratitude becomes, God, thank you for getting me through this today. Sometimes gratitude is joy and Madame Butterfly seeing a butterfly, or Madame Blueberry seeing a butterfly in Stuff Mart. Sometimes that's gratitude, and thank God for those moments. And if that's not your day-to-day, it's okay. Your prayer of gratitude that completely conforms to what Paul, the apostle, is asking us to do and was asking the Colossians to do, your prayer of gratitude can be, God, thank you that you got me through today. I'm looking forward to getting through tomorrow. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for so many things. We thank you that we're here. We thank you that we're present. We thank you for life. Could we just be awake to life and the miracle of that this morning? The miracle that we're breathing. The miracle that we're together. Could we be present in that way and just aware of that? Take a moment to be where you are. Take a moment to feel your heartbeat. Take a moment to notice your breath. Sometimes gratitude just builds from that. Take a moment to say thank you for the heart that is beating. Thank you for the body that is breathing. Thank you for being made in the image of God. Thank you that God loves us with a steadfast love. Thankful that God got us through yesterday. Thankful that God will get us through today. Thankful for the opportunity to look forward to tomorrow. If we build from just that, if we are present to that, we are aware of it, if we are contemplating it, circumstances in life don't have to be perfect, but we can be grateful for that. Almighty God, we thank you for life as it shows up. We thank you for the heart that is beating, the lungs that are breathing, the people who are around us, the God who loves us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.